Hi guys, just before we start this week's pod, we would like to start on a somber note. As you may have heard, the NFL community lost a big voice in Chris Westling over the weekend. Chris sadly passed away aged 46 from his long, brave battle with cancer. All of us here at That American Football Show have listened to the Around the NFL podcast for years, and they are one of the biggest influences on why we do what we do, especially Chris. Although we have never personally met him, he had a huge impact on the game over here in the UK, and he always had plenty of time for fans here on this side of the pond. Our love and condolences go out to Lakeisha, Link, Chris's family, and everyone at NFL Media. Rest in peace, Wes.
Welcome to the American Football Show, powered by EP Sports. EP Sports is the top supplier in the UK for all your American football needs, helping players and coaches reach their potential since 2007. Check them out at epsports.co.uk. So, 2020 is in the books. Tom Brady somehow won a Super Bowl. Shocker, we. It was a good Super Bowl. There's been some pretty unmemorable ones in the past, and it was nice to see a bit of a domination laid down on the Chiefs. How did everyone feel about it?
Brilliant. Yeah, it's good to see. You're right, though. I've seen a lot of talk of people saying that it wasn't a good game, but I couldn't disagree more. I do like the defensive side of the game. I just loved watching the Buccaneers just cause absolute havoc. I know the Chiefs were missing a few important players on their O-line, but that Chiefs backfield, defensive line was just causing absolute havoc, making Mahomes run for his life. It was great to watch.
I think this Super Bowl is more evidence that we're actually living in a simulation, because everything on paper that had to go right for the Bucks to hammer the Chiefs did go right. And it was everything: better defense, bad offensive line, Mahomes has got a bad toe, and it was all there on display. And looking back, it was really obvious that the Buccaneers were going to win and the Chiefs were going to be terrible.
You look at all the score predictions, and I don't think a lot of, like, most seen it coming. I don't think any, especially at that kind of score line. Like you said, Joe, I like a good defensive performance, but I was at least hoping it was going to be a bit more of a competitive game. It got quite one-sided at one point, and I did feel for Mahomes. It's like Mahomes got a lot of the flack after the game, and I think he had a pretty decent game considering that he's got a dodgy foot. Some of the throws he were making were not only incredible, but like bang on target, but they were bouncing off people's faces. Like, he just didn't have the help. You could see it on his face. He was just like, what have I got to do? You know, I need just one person to make a play, and no one can even catch a ball. So for an offense like that to just completely fall apart when they get, you know, to the promised land was unusual, I think.
Yeah, the O-line was obviously such a big problem against the Bucs. But, I mean, that unbelievable throw by Mahomes, where he's pretty much stretched out horizontally in the air, flicks it into the end zone, and he just slaps Travis Kelce in the face cage and he misses it. It's like the one game you want. You need these all pros at the top of their performance. You've got Tyreek Hill getting slandered by Antoine Winfield Jr. and Travis Kelce just dropping every pass that he got thrown at.
That was the best bit of the whole Super Bowl, mate, when he was in Tyreek Hill's face. I know a lot of people were like, on the commentary, is, oh, you know, you don't like to see that. Shut up, man. Like, 90% of NFL fans loved seeing that.
I went from hating it until I realised it was Tyreek Hill and that was his sign.
Like, second quarter, you could see that the heads just went. The Chiefs' heads had just gone, and they just couldn't get back on track. Like, they were just in a panic from them. No one seemed to know what to do. The heads went right down. And then, like, it didn't help that, like, so, like, you know, Honey Badger, like, he, you know, he's, I guess, because he's such a big personality now, he's, like, one of the captains on that team. And Brady was just living in his head. He just set up a tent, got a sleeping bag out, and he was well and truly just camped in his head. And, like, it just summed up the whole game. Like, they just, yeah, it was, I don't know. I was hoping for a more competitive game. It was sad to see that it wasn't more competitive than, like, especially the time of night you stay enough to watch it as well. But, I mean, it's the Super Bowl. I enjoyed it. Good night.
I think it makes it absolutely pointless picking a Super Bowl pick until after at least week 12, because Tampa Bay just came alive after, I think it was week 12, they came alive. Because no one would have picked them to win a Super Bowl before that. They were looking pretty bad, but they deserve to win. There's no doubt about that.
Well, yeah, I'd said early on that I think with the training camp being affected so much, it took them a while to sort of develop that relationship than it probably normally would with the receivers and the offense to sort of click with all of the new pieces and stuff that have come in. And I think, yeah, like you said, it wasn't until like mid-season we started to see that really sort of start to come together.
It's a question for all of you, actually. Do you reckon you felt more involved in the Super Bowl because we got to go to some of the press conferences beforehand? Or did it not make a difference?
I think, for me personally, having sitting in and hearing these players talk, I felt a lot more wishing upon them doing well. Like there was a few players that, you know, you sort of get to know and you know who they are, and in a way from the 45, half an hour that you've spent with them. But yeah, I'd say so, definitely. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I spent a lot more time in the box interviews, I think. So I sort of felt myself rooting for them a little bit more, even though I was a neutral at the time. I think like Joe said, I think after spending a bit of time in the interviews, not all the questions are football based. Quite sometimes they do talk a bit about their personal life, the family life, stuff like that, and you get to know them a bit more as an individual rather than just seeing them on the field as a player. So you find yourself rooting for certain guys more than I guess you would a particular unit.
Yeah, and it's well, like I think for me, it's getting to know the faces as well a lot more, because when it comes to the NFL, half the time they're in a helmet, and you know who these players are, you know what they can do, but it's really weird when you actually get to recognize them sort of facially as well. For me, it just makes it even better seeing them succeed.
Yeah, I mean, you just get a bit more of a feeling for the entire team than maybe just focusing on one or two players, and I agree, it makes the whole week a bit more engaging, all the build up to it as well. Moving away from the Super Bowl then, to the Super Bowl celebrations, where Gronk had the opportunity to nearly break his second trophy.
The guy's a madman. He's a hero. Like, one, seeing these celebrations just makes you want Gronk to win the Super Bowl every year, no matter where he's at. Just seeing him party. I mean, his top's off within about 5 minutes. The bloke can't keep it on. And he's partying, dancing, and yeah, catching trophies thrown by one of his best mates from boat to boat. It's crazy stuff.
He's good fun, and it's hard not to like him because it doesn't seem like there's a nasty bone in him. Like, funny guy.
I was surprised as well. It was probably, everyone knows this already, but he's the same age as Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Mm. How old is he?
Same age as me.
Same age as me. But it's just good to know that Craig and Gronk are comparable human beings.
So I think that's about as compatible as it gets, mate.
I'll say this. I think you can drink more, Craig.
Probably.
From Super Bowl celebrations onto the quarterback carousel, which this year has just been going in overdrive, at least from being part of it, it's really starting to drain on me. I just need something to happen. The new quarterback on the ride is Russell Wilson, who in various posts across, I don't know, social media and telephone calls has started being Aaron Rodgers-esque, I'd like to say. He's kind of being a bit more open about his dislikes of the team and making it clear about he's clearly not maybe getting treated as much as well as he wants to with regards to like free agents and drafting. So there's been a lot of talk of, obviously it's very hyperbolic, but Russell Wilson getting traded. And the Colts yet again seem to be the favourite home for him. Any veteran quarterback with success likes to get rumoured to the Colts.
I think the NFL's heading towards more of an NBA model of player power. So I realistically don't think Russell Wilson wants to be traded. but he just wants more power in decisions, and he actually doesn't want to get the shit kicked, the some not kicked out of him on a regular basis, and he just wants more say in who they pick and wants a better O-line. Easy solution to this. Baltimore have got a tackle that wants to play left tackle. Why not trade for him? It's not going to cost them that much. Russell Wilson's happy. You keep your franchise quarterback.
Completely agree. Like, I can't see Wilson actually forcing it so far that he leaves Seattle. Like, he's comfortable there. It's just, yeah, he just wants protection. That's it. This is his way of getting it, and he's having to go public. I wouldn't say it's quite man of the year sort of style, but he's going for what he wants.
And Tim, you mentioned there that it's getting more NBA-like with players having more agency over their contracts. Is that something we want to see in the league? Do we want their loyalty to be less highly regarded by at least the quarterbacks? Because in certain positions, like Larry Fitzgerald is probably the main example right now, JJ Watt to a degree. I love it when a player sticks to the team for the whole career, or like 95% of the career. I think it shows character, and if they're good, it makes them a unique identity for that city. If you're going to have these players bouncing around cities, I just don't feel like anyone's going to get as strong a connection to them as they would do as normal.
Yeah,
I think it's... Sorry, Kate, go.
I get where they're coming from, and like, I think to an extent they do deserve to have a little bit more of a say in things, the way things are run, especially if it's someone like Wilson, who is, you know, he's been at that team for a long time, it's built around him. You'd think he'd have a little bit more sway than he does, but I don't like that NBA model. I think it's very self-centered, it's very person-centered and not team-based, and it's not very for the fans, just like Adam was saying. So for me, I think I would find that it puts me off players when players are too big of a personality and they feel like they're bigger than the team and they're bigger than everyone else on the team and they're bigger than the fans. It puts me off, and it would put me off supporting a team that was sort of built and centered around players like that, because I think, well, they don't give a crap about the fans, they don't give a crap about the team or this particular team doing well. They just want to do well themselves, make more money, you know, make them become a bigger entity in the league, and that's all it interested in.
I think as well, it's in the NBA, you've got a case where a star player will go to a team and then he'll say, right, I'm coming, but I'm bringing a couple of my mates with me. And like you said, it's nothing to do with the city or the team. It's like, I want to hang out with my mates and make some money. I think the NFL player power is going to come along a bit more. So you've got, for example, Deshaun Watson say that he's not happy at a team. And to be honest with you, he's got every right to be the way that team is being run. But the odd thing about American football is, in the most capitalist country in the world, it's almost a socialist model where you've got the draft where a player has no say really in where he's going to go, and then he's stuck there for a certain number of years. I don't think it'll go as far as the NBA situation, but I think there's going to be changes in player power.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of the same as Craig. For me, there is no one bigger than the team. I think at the end of the day, it's a team sport. And this goes for all team sports for me. You know, the fans are the most important people there, because without the fans, like, what are you? I think recently with the players, I don't know if it's sort of like these corporate deals they've been getting, or social media presence. Players seem to, over the last decade especially, have started to make themselves feel like they are bigger than the team and the people they play for. And it's quite, in a way, if it was to go that way, it would be quite worrying to see, you know, you'd be supporting one player 1 year, getting right behind him, buying his shirt, giving him money essentially for the shirt sales. And then you can go, actually, you know what? No, I'm better than you. I'm going to go somewhere else. I just don't think that's a good sort of ethos to have, especially in all team sports.
No, that's how you end up building powerhouses as well. So, like, it'll shift the dynamic of the team, of the league. Like, one thing particularly about the NFL that I quite like, which is something that you don't really get outside of the US, is the balance of the way the draft works and the way the cap space works and the way like players move and stuff like that. It keeps things really competitive. And I think if you give too much in terms of player power, you're just going to end up with a small group of teams that are going to be powerhouses, and then everyone else is just going to be sort of left by the wayside.
Yeah, and to add to that, I think we're going to see the impact of player agency and stuff like that going forward, because you've got the Buccaneers, which pretty much as you've just described, Tim, Tom Brady went over there. They went, oh, I actually need some players that I like. So he got Gronk and Brown and Fournette joined. Like he basically made a little powerhouse for that, at least for this season. But then you've got the Rams, who are basically foregoing first round picks and trying to build through trades. So you've almost got these two teams pulling experiments, one with the star power, the Russell, what are they called, Golden State Warriors tactic. And you've got one team trying to forego this, the draft as well, and build through their obviously through their own knowledge. I think this will be really interesting over the next coming years to see where the Bucs are and where the Rams are and how other teams grow from their knowledge.
Yeah, it's, again, sort of like what the Saints did. You just throw everything in, hoping you're going to get a Super Bowl within the next 2 or 3 years. Not even that with the Saints, Ravens, next 1 or 2 years. Whereas other teams build in, getting young players in, building the team like that, building up the fan base. Whereas other teams are just basically buying a team.
Yeah.
But luckily, as Craig said, the system they've got in American sport, it won't be like the Premier League, where you can literally buy a Premier League title just by getting all the money and getting all the teams. Because obviously in the NFL and most American sports, there is some form of salary cap.
As we speak about the draft, which is probably my favourite part of the off-season, first of all, if anyone's got any kind of draft questions, please send them in. We are going to get one of our friends on who's pretty knowledgeable of the draft, so we should be having a good breakdown of that.
I've got an interesting one with the draft coming up, like, question I could throw out there is with, so like the likes of the Saints at the moment, they're like what, 70 million over the cap, I think, and the draft is coming up soon. Obviously they have to pay the wages of the people that they're drafting, and they're already over the cap. So in when it comes to the draft, obviously they're gonna have to make up some of that money at least. Are they then gonna have to then bypass to sort of break even point and still make even more space, like maybe an extra 5 mil or something in cap space, to then allow the players that they're drafting to be able to sign up for the roster?
I think, I might be wrong, but I think there's a certain amount of the cap is always put aside for rookies.
Okay.
So I think there'll never be a position where they can't actually pay the rookies. I might be wrong, but I think I heard that somewhere once.
Okay.
I could be wrong as well, but as far as I'm aware, is in you do your draft, you can do all these roster changes throughout the off season, and then there's a certain date where it's like you've got to be at this cap level at this point. So it could be you do drop some of those rookies, you do drop some of those vets that are costing you money. But yeah, the cap went up 5 mil, if anyone didn't catch that. And they basically, with how the lockdown happened, they renegotiated, and it has gone up slightly, so it does help out the Saints and the Eagles and other teams.
Yeah, I was going to say as well, because Drew Brees has renegotiated, hasn't he, as well, to help out the Saints. So
yeah, Mike Evans has said that he's willing to renegotiate this to try and keep the books together, which is, you know, fair play to the guy. Like, that's what you want to get from your players. That's the kind of players you want playing for your squad, I guess.
Yeah, to double back on you when we were talking about the franchise team identity kind of stuff. For a good example would be like, if you think of Ray Lewis, you just instantly think of the Ravens. There's nothing else to think about. If you think about, so I'm not putting him in the same caliber, but it's a good example for now. Someone who's very good, Tyrann Mathieu. You don't associate him with the team because he's been on the Cardinals, he's been on the Texans, he's been on the Chiefs. Whether they threw it his own choice or not, he seems pretty happy that he's been moving on these teams. But you don't regard him with a team anymore. And I don't know if he doesn't want that. He wants to be just his identity, but I think it's really cool when you see a player and you go, oh yeah, you just think of a team when you think of a player. Like Tom Brady in the Bucks.
You don't get that much with most sports now, though. I mean, even like soccer, like football, like, I think of some players when I grew up, like Steven Gerrard and Carragher and some people like that, like they were local people who played for Liverpool, played there pretty much their whole career. And that's just the club that they're associated with, where you look at a lot of players now in the UK Premier League and they're always bouncing around from team to team. And I think it's becoming a bit more, you see it a lot more in the NFL.
If you now like those stories, you need to look up Adam Thielen's. Because, like, he's from Minnesota. Like, when he was in high school, he was a ball boy for the Vikings. He went to, like, a third division college, worked his way up, got undrafted free agent to the Vikings, and now he's the Vikings' number one receiver. Like, it's one of the greatest, like, little stories, and I hope he retires a Viking, because that could be a very good relationship for the fans.
I think that's something teams, I was thinking about this the other day, actually. I think that's something some teams don't factor into their draft process that I think some should, is to draft local players, because more than likely that player is going to be a fan of that team, playing for that team, because they're still going to be a fan of that team deep down from when they were a small kid. Like, you're going to, in my opinion, you're going to get a bit more out of them. And like so it was when it was Super Bowl, they were talking about Shaq Barrett, he's from Baltimore. And I was thinking, you know what? Linebacker from Baltimore. Like, that would have made perfect sense. Like, what happened that year? Where did we go into? We probably just picked up some other wide receiver that lasted the season and was no good. You know what I mean? Like, I think if you bring in players who are from that local area and have supported that team, and their families have supported that team for such a long time, I think potentially you would get a lot more out of them than you would do just bringing in someone else. Sometimes
new rule then, like, 5 of your roster spots have to be from within 10 miles of the stadium.
Oh, in that case, mate, Florida teams would kill it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Imagine what Texan teams are going to be like.
Adam's thinking about Philly, thinking who's around there.
No, because I thought of a countless at that point, and it's some of the Eagles do that really fucking really bloody annoys me. Sorry, I don't know why we've tried to stop swearing, but Tim did it, so I feel like I should. It's whenever we get an undrafted free agent or a coach, in order to make us like them, they go like, he's from South Jersey. It's like, can we stop? Like, great. Like, Miles Sanders is from, like, I think he's from Pennsylvania, so I was really happy with him. Like, all our players don't need to be, because when they're shit, we don't care.
This has got nothing to do with anything, but just a reminder, has anyone ever seen the clip of the TV news where someone phones up about gang violence in Philadelphia? And the guy phones up and he goes, yeah, I was born and raised in West Philadelphia. I spent most of my days on a playground, and then I got in one little fight. My mom got scared. The newsreader's not getting any of it. And she goes, oh, is that right? What happened? I said, well, they sent me off to leave my auntie uncle in Los Angeles. And she said, really? How did that work out?
Okay, my mum got swapped. My auntie got swapped, sorry.
Go there in a taxi.
You brought up Orlando Brown there. Craig, how do you feel about the situation?
I think that's one of those situations where I get that it can be frustrating if you're not being played in the position that you want to play in, but you get paid a lot of money to play for a team. You play in a position that's not too different from what you're used to. It might not be your preferred position, but you're still in a position that you still know well. And as an offensive lineman, you're expected to be versatile enough to be able to move to other positions when needed. I think he just needs to shut up and get on with it. I think this is one of those situations where someone is just whinging because they're not getting their own way. And I think he needs to sort of focus more on the team and play where he's needed. You know what I mean? You want guys in positions that, like, same on your defensive line. Like, if you might have a preferred position, but you would expect your defensive lineman to be able to play anywhere on the defensive line. You would expect your cornerbacks to be able to fill in at safety if need be. You would expect your inside backers to at least be able to an extent, fill in at outside backer if need be. Like, you need to be able to sort of be a bit more versatile. So, long story short, he needs to stop whinging and just get on with it.
Handy, but, like, if you look to... There are some, like, swing tackles who it's part of their job that they could play anywhere on the line. But I think it was Brian Baldinger who said on Sky or something, it was like, getting a left tackle to play right tackle is like saying to you, oh, you work at a physical job, now do everything left-handed. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it's a lot harder than just... come on, you're already trained for it, because everything.
Yeah, no, I get that. I understand that, but still, like, it's going to take some work to get used to it and get better at it. But he just needs to put the work in and get on with it. He gets paid a lot of money to just do something the opposite side. You know what I mean? Like, I understand that it's not preferred, and yet he might be
his game might be better on the left. I think personally he wants to play left tackle because that's where the big money is, and I think that's why he's whinging, because if he gets stuck playing right tackle rather than left tackle, then that might impact money going down the line.
What does he think's going to happen? Does he think you're going to trade Ronnie Stanley? Because he's your left tackle. So
yeah.
My favourite part of the entire thing was when I said you heard Orlando Brown is wanting to leave and you went, fucking whiny little bitch. Like, no, not Hollywood Brown.
I was walking home at the time and I was I only sort of like was like looking at my phone as I was walking back. I must have misread it wrong and thought it was the wrong Brown. But no, my point still stands. I think he needs to stop being a whiny little bitch and just get on with it. I understand that it's not where he wants to be. I understand it's not his preferred side and his position, and it might be difficult to sort of try and do everything on the opposite side. But you know what? He's an athlete. He gets paid a lot of money to do it. Just get on with it. You know what I mean? He should be versatile enough that he can play both, in my opinion. Same as like a defensive lineman should be able to play with either hand in the ground, should be able to play on either end. And I would expect the same from any other position on a team. So get on with it.
And that was Craig's rant of the day.
Yeah. Sorry.
I just tweeted to Orlando Brown, get on with it.
Get him on and I'll tell him he's a whiny little bitch.
Oh, hang on, who's this coming into the Zoom meeting now?
So we had a giveaway running on our Twitter for the Super Bowl. We asked people to tell us who the MVP was, and 9 people, I think it was, correctly guessed Tom Brady. So we'll do the random number generator live on podcast.
But I was going to say, and before we go into this, did Tom Brady deserve the MVP?
No.
Oh, absolutely not. It should have been Gronk.
Okay. Yes. So I was thinking through this. I thought it should have been a defensive player, but Devin White was probably the best. I think he was the most effective. Vea, though, was also insane.
Impact on defense, easy.
Yeah.
White crumpled Mahomes, mate. He folded them like a piece of paper, mate. It was, I felt that.
There was a shot of after that, like that triple man tackle. He just gets up and he's literally like,
I thought Gronk had a good shot. But then Brady, what was it, over 80% completion, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. It's, you know, any other year that wins MVP.
I want to give it to Gronk.
Craig made the point of that Brady only does well when he's got his defense riding high. Let's move on to this number generator. Congratulations for the 9 people in the running. The number generated is 7.
Right, so congratulations then to Shaz__01. You are the winner of our giveaway.
So just reach out to us on your preferred manner of social media, and we shall get that all sorted out for you. Thank you to EP Sports again for that giveaway. They're getting a Tafts hat and a fan bundle. Not the only thing that will be getting won coming out of the predictions. Tim, do you want to let us know who won the Tafts 2021 predictions?
It was all over by this first quarter. It was basically down to me or Joe. I picked the Chiefs, Joe picked Tampa, and if Tampa won, Joe won outright. So I don't have the numbers, but I know that Joe won by a landslide. So congratulations, Joe.
Congrats.
Enjoy your jersey.
And I'll send out the Hodor trophy once I get a box for it to fit in. I'll post it out to you.
I can't wait, man. I'm building my home office here, so like, I just anything to add to it would be excellent. So yeah, the Hodor trophy is
look after it for me till next year.
Oh, I will. Don't you worry.
I was going to put it on the wall behind me to hide this horrible wallpaper.
And the lockdown lids for getting us that signed Gardner Minshew jersey, which is going to go down as a relic.
Yeah, we need to decide what we want to do for next season. I know we threw a couple of ideas out there, but we'll have to decide who we want to back for next year's jersey.
If anyone listening's got any ideas, we want to pick a plucky underdog player, bit like a Gardner Minshew. We don't want any big stars, but we want them to be the player of Tafts for next season.
Yeah, put your nominations forwards and we'll have a look around.
Don't make it a team we don't like, though.
No, no Patriots.
No Cowboys. No Jets.
Do we say names? Do we pick the ones we hate?
Two each.
Blankenship's one that comes to mind. I think you suggested that, Tim, didn't you? That would be a good one. But yeah, that sort of style of player, it's like a plucky underdog, like Tim said, someone we can sort of get behind and you have a bit of fun with, I guess.
Random question that's come to mind. Outside of your division, pick your two most hated teams and why?
Ooh. Outside of my division?
Outside of your own division.
Cowboys and Patriots. Don't even have to think about it. Like Cowboys and Patriots, or I don't know. Sometimes possibly the Saints over the Patriots.
I think mine's Patriots. My hate for the Patriots literally died so quickly after Brady left, though.
Yeah.
Oh come on, man! We're just a lovable underdog now.
I think mine's the Saints and the Vikings.
The Vikings is a peculiar one.
They wind me up because like Vikings and Eagles fans for some reason hate each other now.
Patriots and Bucks for me.
Mine is the Broncos and, sorry, Craig, the Packers. I respect the Packers, but I don't like them still.
No, I get it. They do get a lot of hate.
Yeah.
For the Saints, so many fans that just, same with Cowboys, I guess, as well, like that just irritate the life out of me. Like I'm not saying that all fans of that team are like that. I know some Saints fans who are not like that. And same for the Cowboys. I'm just going to put that out there. I'm not saying that everyone's like that. So don't all just like come in with your pitchforks and everything for me. But like there's a good proportion of that fan base that are quite unbearable at times. And I think that's just what makes me sort of, because I used to quite like the Saints, but I think the more I've got sort of out there on Twitter and talking to fans and stuff, the more it's just put me off them.
Exactly the same as you, Craig.
Yeah, I was going to say, Craig, we're all on the same page here, I think. It's not the team that I hate, it's the fans.
Oh, no, I do hate the team a little bit. Yeah. The fans are, but yeah, the team what actually made me hate them.
The Cowboys are the Chelsea of the NFL. They've got big money. Yeah. They've got the big sort of flashy contacts and shiny stuff and everything else. But realistically, at the heart of it, they're just not very good.
England rugby team.
Although the Cowboys sort of legends and stars are fairly likable, I think.
Yeah.
Emmitt Smith. John Terry and Frank Lampard, I cannot stand. So that's the one thing that goes sort of against. But yeah,
Okay, we have one listener question, I believe, this week. We've all been quite busy, and I forgot to post. You verbatim on the subreddit NFL UK asks: is the PI rule broken, and should interference be called on an uncatchable ball? Craig, you're a coach. Do you want to weigh in on this?
How long have you got? This is something that is quite something that really grinds my gears, as the saying goes, I guess. Something that really gets under my skin. It's a real they've overcomplicated it. I think they've tried to over officiate it, and it's now so confusing and such a grey area that no one really knows what's a PI and what's not. I think it's also something that depend from game to game, and I think sometimes just from call to call, the style in which it's called also varies a lot, which I find quite frustrating. There's not a lot of consistency in a PI, whether it's offensive or defensive. In my opinion, I think you should let players play. I think it's too offense orientated. They should be at least allowed a little bit of contact and stuff. I also think that, like you were saying there, on an uncatchable ball, I think with the PI, if it's on, like, say if the ball's thrown to like the left hand side of the field and the PI happens on the right hand side of the field on the far end, like, I don't personally think that should be called because it doesn't affect the play. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I understand that. Like, if you're saying that, like, you've got to use your common sense, I guess. But if a penalty like a PI happens on the opposite side of the field, it doesn't affect the play whatsoever, then in my opinion, that shouldn't really be called because it's not really impacted the play.
Yeah, I was talking to a British ref once, and he said exactly that. It's like, if you see holding on a play, if you're a referee, but it's nowhere near the play and it's completely not affecting it in any shape or form, just ignore it and keep your flag in the pocket. It should be the same with PI.
Honestly, I'd be happy if PI just went away. There was obviously a rule like you couldn't just fucking batter the other person, but I'd much prefer it if it was a trait for receivers to have that they were physical and they pushed
it.
It's almost just cat and mouse at this point where it's like the receiver has the advantage, the defender's got to react. When I'd like it a bit more, I just prefer the physical style of play. I think a lot of people do.
As well, another point for me is because the penalty for it is a harsh one. Yeah. It's something that for me that, you know, does, is it a fair punishment for what they've done? I mean, if they're not going to catch the ball and, you know, there's a little bit of contact, whatever, it doesn't deserve that first down and putting the ball where the point of the foul was. Like, that's just not fair.
The maximum penalty for trying to decapitate someone on a football field is 15 yards, but a pass interference can be anything up to 100 yards virtually in a penalty, so it should just be 15 yards.
Yeah, I think it's a contact sport, it's a physical game. I think I feel like it's a way of strong arming the league into being more offensive and scoring more points because that's what the league thinks people want to see. But it kills the game. It really does kill the game, and it's difficult enough for defenses as it is to adjust and to play. And I think you're expecting a guy to be able to stop someone from catching a ball, and he's not really allowed to touch him to an extent. And some of the PI calls you see are crazy. It's like the rough and the passer rule. Like, I get it, the rough and the passer rule was put in to protect people, but now it's being manipulated to a point where it kills the game and it makes it boring at times. I think as a fan of the game, it really winds me up.
Yeah, especially with roughing, Josh Allen effectively dived, didn't he, in the playoffs? He went full, no offense, Craig, full Mo Salah and just threw himself to the floor. And like, it's just, you don't want that to come in at any, like, we've had enough of that in our football, but far too much of it. And you just don't want that to even be a possibility in another, as you say, contact sport.
I think the problem is at this point, it's so hard to make it right because you've got to acknowledge player safety. You've got to acknowledge competitiveness. I feel for whoever has to make the decision because it's not an easy one because one side's always going to win. Do you want them to play safe and make it? You know, it's just it's a really hard call.
With PI, I think if there's a little bit of handbags, I would let that slide. I think if someone's grabbed hold of someone's jersey and they're pulling them and yanking them, or if they've like grabbed an arm and they're like pulling them down and all this, that, then yeah, I get it. Like, it makes sense. But if there's just a little bit of handbags and bit of pattern and all the rest of it going on, like, that shouldn't be called, like, whatsoever. It shouldn't even be considered to be called. I understand that it's frustrating for receivers because it makes life more difficult to catch the ball, but that's the defender's job to make their life it's not supposed to be easy to catch a ball. You know what I mean? You are.
Jerry Rice played for, God, 20 years.
Yeah, and you'd never stopped him.
In a time where he could get absolutely twatted without the ball in his hands.
Yeah, if you don't want a defender to have hands on you, then be better at your cuts, be quicker, like, be better at your job. Don't be as covered, run better routes, you know what I mean? Like, get in a better body position so that the ball's going to come to you and not the defender. Like, don't create rules and manipulate rules in such a way that it excuses their shortcomings. You know what I mean? It's not supposed to be easy.
So yeah, the PI rule is broken.
Yeah, it is broken. I'm sorry. It's just it's one of them rules that as soon as I think about it, I just get really wound up.
Joe, you got a question?
Yeah, I did. I thought I'd put this in last minute. Because, you know, the season's just finished and I don't know if we've talked about this yet. I want to know what your guys, and this is a bit sort of out of the blue, your favourite game of the season was, both regular season and playoffs. It could be a great win by your team. It could be a game that was just back and forth. Take your pick.
Ravens-Browns. Yeah, Ravens-Browns, Monday Night Football. Yeah. Like.
Raiders-Jets.
Of course.
That was an intense game.
I think it was Chargers Broncos earlier in the season that came down to like overtime and then a missed field goal. I don't know why, but that was also Bills versus Cardinals was also a
movie. Yes.
That was a great game.
Yeah.
Playoff though.
There was only I'm trying to think about what games were like close, like. And like Colts Bills comes to mind. That was a really good game.
Colts Bills was really good.
Yeah. The playoffs were a little saying that underwhelming.
Washington put the best performance out against Brady.
Yeah.
What about regular season for you, Joe? What was your best regular season game?
As a Pats fan, even though we lost the Patriots Seahawks game, I think from week 3 was really good. It came down to Cam Newton getting stopped like on the line.
Yeah,
that was really good. But now that Browns Ravens game for me was by far, I think, the best, because it was just crazy.
It was mental.
Coming out proper like Royal Rumble style just to come finish it off. It was great.
It made me excited for next year, because I think as a division, it's going to be so fun to watch. It's going to be stressful to watch, and I know that. But I would rather come up against quality teams than teams that I know that more than likely it's going to be a one-sided game and you're going to walk over. I want to see good football. And like, I think it sort of breathes a new life into the division and the rivalry, because I think the Steelers games are the same. Like, well, that sort of...
I think the earlier Ravens-Steelers game was absolutely face-melting.
Yeah, like, and you know, the Bengals are also looking like they're on the up, so I think it could be a lot of fun sort of divisional games and coming out of there.
Well, meanwhile, I get the Cowboys, Washington, and the Giants.
Washington are a scary prospect, mate.
The regular season had a couple of absolute amazing games.
I feel we're missing something, like some big game, but I just can't put my finger on it.
That Cardinals Bills won that catch, like that.
There was a card Seahawks one, wasn't there? Was that when DK ran back and?
Oh tackled? Yeah,
like, that was a good one.
Cards is really good.
That let us know. Anyone listening, let us know. Send us in your favorite moments of the season, or your favorite game, or favorite play.
Loads of Chargers games were really fun because they had such terrible end game management that they were always super close, and Justin Herbert had to play for his life.
I enjoyed Raiders Chiefs. I thought that was quite fun to watch.
Yeah, that was a good one. The first one.
Okay. Any other questions before we finish up?
I think that's it.
Been a bit of a shorter one today. That's what happens when we've not got a game to talk about. We've got loads of plans for the off season though. We're going to be, I think we talked a little bit about it last week, but so we'll be hitting all the major events of the NFL, all the news. We should be getting more episodes out, hopefully 2 a week, but we will shortly, probably after this episode, be taking a small hiatus, just because it can get quite exhausting recording every week, so we all deserve a break. But you can still keep up with us on all our social medias. We'll be back within about 2 weeks, but we'll still be active on them. Joe, could you let all of our listeners know where to find us?
Yep. So our Twitter and Instagram is @TAFS_UK. And our Facebook is The American Football Show. Be sure to join our Facebook group as well, NFL fans, and post whatever American football content you want. Anything's welcome. That is that's PG.
I thought you were about to say that's a Joe guarantee.
You don't want one of them.
You can also find us on our website, where we are getting new things out fairly regularly now. Tim, what is that?
It's thatamericanfootballshow.com. As Adam said, if you want to write for us and contribute, just let us know, drop us an email, get in touch with us on the socials, and we'll have a chat with you and see what we can do.
We mentioned it before, but make sure you go over to Lockdown Lids. I know they've got some Super Bowl related stuff on there. I saw a Mahomes jersey, Clive Over-Tolaire jersey, so do go and check them out if you want to get some cool merch. You can also find our merch on EP Sports, who are our partners, as we mentioned before. If you do have any NFL or fan needs, make sure you go check them out at epsports.co.uk. Thanks everyone for listening to us for a whole season. Hope you've enjoyed it. We have very much enjoyed recording it. And we will see you after our sport holiday. Thank you for listening.
Hasta mañana.
Have you seen the video with Brady stumbling out like he's stumbling out of a nightclub?
Yeah,
getting a calf carried out.
Like he looked like a 15-year-old who just had two cans of cider. It's like...